Welcome to episode 48 of the Pipe and Slippers Football Podcast. I'm your host, Roger Kirby, and with me this evening is Mr. Stephen Woodcombe.
Good evening, Roger, and yeah, welcome to episode 48. We're getting closer to that half century, slowly but surely. So we get to just catch up and see what's going on in the world of Pipe and Slippers football this week.
Yes, and we've had a busy old week because we had a little bit of news that we put out there on Twitter, which was...
It's amazing what you can do in a week off, eh?
Yes, this is true. We launched the Pipe and Slippers football website. Now, hopefully... It will grow and morph into more than just content for the people that are in our leagues. We're hoping that it becomes a bit more of a sort of a UK across the pond sort of forum to interact with like-minded people long term. I think that's the master plan.
Yeah, it's a start, and it's exciting what can be built from this. So thank you very much and appreciate your time in setting it up and doing the behind the scenes stuff to get it going and off and running, and then already been tinkering with it, both of us.
I think it's important to recognize that it's a work in progress. I was really keen to get something out there. I think it's one of those things that you can talk about doing something and you want it to be perfect and you want it to be this, but I one of the things that I've recognized in working in sort of, especially sort of e-commerce type stuff and development stuff, is that something will never be perfect, and eventually you've got to bite the bullet, get it out there and refine it over time, and hopefully with you know, some feedback and the work between ourselves, we'll get to where we want it to be.
Yeah, so it starts off life as a, it's a nice place as well, just to provide a good stream of these podcasts. It makes it easier to just announce that it's going to be up and available on pipeandslippersfootball.com rather than through our host service at Podomatic. And then obviously it's a good place to see our tweets come in, read about us, and we've got a little blog post section that we've already started going.
Yeah, and I think long term we aim to have different contributors to that blog posting section, thinking maybe during the in season to have regular columns from some of the people that are involved in our leagues that are really keen and like-minded, you know, start and sit 'ems, a sort of rookie watch were a few of the ideas I thought from a sort of written standpoint that can be blogified, if that's even a word, would be good. And then hopefully, as I say, we can maybe create a members section, and that will include people from the league and maybe people from outside the league, and we can make this something. You know, I don't think we're ever going to potentially take over the world, but I think if we can make it into something where it's a community of like-minded football individuals, you know, it'd be fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good space, and I think for us too as well, we never always get to sync up our time in order to record one of these podcasts. We're just going to try and slip in a quick show now. So it's a great place as well for us to, unfortunately for some of our listeners, share our knowledge and comments, and we want to get out there a bit more on a long form, some of our thoughts and ideas, which we were able to get across on Twitter in 140 characters.
And I think it's when we talk about knowledge, I mean, we have our own unique take and perspective on the game from our, based upon our backgrounds within sports psychology and sports notation. My sort of, you know, branching out into sort of business analytics, and then furthermore in that, extending that idea, is that I think we both kind of still enjoy sort of writing. I know I certainly do. I don't think I'm speaking out of turn for you.
No, very much so. It's it was something I was looking at doing myself a couple of years ago, trying to find a way to comment and often rant about stuff in the longer form than just using Twitter, which is my preferred social medium out there. So yeah, composing articles and a bit of research here and there. As you can see from my first post on the website, where I've got three Excel spreadsheets involved in trying to create the few words that I put up there. So it's good to do through that process of researching and writing articles and commenting on stuff and trying to get points across in an articulate manner, which sometimes here on the podcast, my words don't always come across clearly. So it may also be easier on people with their accents that they can understand us a bit more.
Yes, given the fact that I think I nearly forgot my name during the intro. So, yeah, we'll come back to the couple of blogs that we've written. I think we should maybe cover off just a little bit of news. I don't know if anything has particularly jumped out of you over the last few weeks.
Well, obviously it's been rookie mini camps and all the news of them signing their starting contracts. And it's that time of the year where you suddenly think you've got so much hope and your team is full of world beaters and these rookies are going to come in and impact immediately, which is exciting. It's fun. It's great to hear some of the stories come out of these mini camps, all with a little bit of a pinch of salt. But it's, as an early start, the number one overall pick, Jared Goff, and what the Rams are doing is going to be an interesting place to watch them go forward. So it's been good to hear what's coming out of that from them.
Yeah, and I think the biggest news for me has been the Bradford, you know, putting his toys back in the pram, putting his dummy back in and moving back into Philly. Tom Condon, for a guy that has kept himself extremely under the radar, a lot of the time seems to be willing to speak to everybody at the moment and try and explain what the rationale was. And whilst the rationale kind of makes sense, I think it was naive to think that, you know, Elway was going to ever overpay for him, given the fact that he stood his ground so firmly with Kaepernick. So obviously that's now changed with them drafting Paxton Lynch and having the option of 5 years with him. Smart coming up into the first if he turns out to be what they're all hoping. But yeah, the Bradford thing is an interesting one. And I think the most interesting thing for me, sorry to ramble and go on a little bit, was the fact that they assumed when they signed that contract that $22 million guaranteed at least was going to give Bradford, you know, two solid years as a starter with the potential to see where it goes in year three and beyond. I think with that kind of money and the Chase Daniel money as well, none of us thought that they were going to make the move to go up to number two.
Yeah, you're right there. You would assume, and just by the way the league normally plays out, that type of money and contract given to Bradford and Daniel, you would imagine that the Eagles would stay where they are, or they'd do what often other teams have done and take a third or fourth round QB as a hopeful long-term prospect. It's just that pressure of putting that number two pick on somebody, it all changes the dynamic there. And it's just going to be interesting to see how the Eagles team and players react to this whole situation and what occurs over the next few months leading up to the season, how they all...
How do the veterans react? Are they in the Bradford camp? Are they in the rookie camp? Or ultimately, is it a case of, well, whoever's under centre, I'm with him? I mean, I don't know. I think that's an interesting dynamic that I don't think I appreciate. I can sort of speculate based upon some of the sports psychology stuff, but I know from my own perspective is that, you know, whilst, you know, for head coaches, for example, you know, if a manager got sacked when I was playing football, it was maybe sad, but the problem is that, you know, when a new guy came in, it was like, well, yeah, I like that guy, but you've got to get on board with a new guy. So it's about self-preservation in sport, so you look after yourself. And I'm assuming that if it's Bradford or Wentz under centre, it's not going to matter who it is. The guys are going to unite right around him and try and get the win.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see, because we've got to remember as well, for Bradford, it's a new system and a new head coach as well. And in all fairness, it's Daniel who's down with the playbook and the system more than either the other two. And if he can perform throughout the off-season, nothing to say he doesn't end up being the one that the players kind of get behind. And it obviously comes down to the other two about how they pick up things like that, the playbook, and then obviously how it starts to unfold through training camp and through the pre-season even, as to who grasps that concept a bit most. And it should be a fun off-season to watch for the Eagles.
Yeah, watch this space. One last thing I think is noteworthy is how do you see the Fitzpatrick saga, I guess is as good a word as any, playing out?
Well, I guess it comes down to, I think that's the thing, none of us really know where people's minds are at with this. It's like,
Eric Decker came out and spoke of his surprise at them drafting Hackenberg in the second round.
Yeah, but then it's the same thing we've just talked about with the Eagles and players there. If Fitzpatrick's not around, they're going to have to start thinking and looking and talking about the fact that he's not there and get on with who is there.
Yeah, and they will. They will.
Yeah, they're all professionals at the end of the day and need to get on with their quarterback.
But what's it going to take to get him back? Because, $8 million is supposed to be the number that's on the table. Mike Florio was making a really good point, is that for a quarterback, the average low-end starting salary is what? 12, 13 million? But does Fitzpatrick think that he's worth a two-year deal? I mean, realistically, he must look at the Bradford situation and think, well, do I really want anything of that? To come in and as the starter, but realistically, I'm on an extremely short leash, and there's a guy waiting in the wings.
I guess it all comes down to Fitzpatrick's mindset. We've not really heard a peep from him much about what his thought is. If he doesn't get a substantial amount of money, you can easily just see him saying, "See you later at football." Who knows what type of mindset he's got in terms of his love of the game. Will he just do it for when it comes closer to the season and realise, okay, they're not budging, let me just play for less money than I want? Or I don't know, that's the big question for me, is to find out where Fitzpatrick is with his mindset on everything. Do we see the Jets folding and adding a few more million?
They might have to get creative with the cap as well, because I think they're quite up against it.
Yeah. I don't really see... Do we see any other fits around the league where you think they actually need or would like to try and get him in?
Well, the only other thing I can see is I can't see him ending up anywhere in the sort of short term, but he might just sit it out and say, well, potentially I somebody goes down in week four and I rock up and become the immediate starter somewhere. I don't know. I mean, it could be as simple as that for him, but they're definitely at an impasse at the moment. And another storyline, off-season storyline, that's going to be worthwhile keeping an eye on going forward.
Yeah, very much so. There obviously hasn't been too much else happening at the moment. Just been a week since you've been down, and we did our double header of draft review shows, which I might add have been received pretty well on the old rankings. We've had a busy week with our numbers, so thank you to everyone for downloading and listening. We've moved up into the top 10 of the sports category on Podomatic's rankings.
That's much appreciated, everyone. And as I say, with review, podcast, it's always kind of difficult to kind of hit everything, and it's a bit of a whistle stop tour. But it was good to be side by side, face to face, and doing our thing and getting number 46, 47, and now tonight 48. So as you say, two more to go.
Yes, and just talking about rankings there and everything, did really want to just request, I think It seems somebody else tried to leave us a review on iTunes. I saw it on one online page, but it hasn't shown through on the podcast app or in iTunes itself yet. So it would be much appreciated if anybody could review and subscribe on iTunes for the Pipe and Slippers football podcast. That would be much appreciated to all our listeners out there. A few more reviews and subscriptions on there would be very handy for us, and just to let us know that you are still all out there listening. And obviously comment and give us feedback on what you do want to hear us ramble on about, or just say that we're awesome and it's great and you love everything we do. So constructive criticism is very much appreciated.
Yes, I'm with you on that. Shall we quickly just talk about the two posts that we wrote, just to maybe annuicate on them?
Yes. So the website pipeandslippersfootball.com launched with a post by yourself commenting on the Peyton Manning story out of Miami, reported by Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald.
Yeah, and it seems like it's subsequently, Adam Gase has tried to play that down and say it's been blown out of proportion a little bit. I mean, I think it was interesting for me to write about, because Manning is a man that I admire greatly, and I think it just shows that he's going to probably dabble in a few things. But he's a guy that, for me, that comes across as whatever he wants to do in this next step of his career. You know, these career transitions are difficult. They're not easy. To let go of something that you've known for essentially half of your life and move into something else. But I think he's intelligent enough and savvy enough to surround himself with the right people and the right tools to be successful in whatever it is that he ends up doing. I'd be surprised if he goes into coaching, but I could easily see him being that sort of go-to sort of guru and be someone that, you know, younger players sort of lent on. Not so much a coach as such, but easily you could see him, you know, going down the GM side. I can't see him being out of football, sort of Brett Favre, you know, just into the sunset and rock up every now and again and you know, the big events and say hello and be Brett Favre. So yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you obviously see some players as they're ending their career, even in the seasons leading up to it. You got people like Brandon Marshall, for example, who they start trying to do a bit of TV here and there in the off season, and then he's on TV every week. But those players who obviously want to get into TV almost start planning ahead and doing it before they get out of the game. So TV, maybe not the thing for him, but, you know, the world obviously is oyster in what he can be. And I was, for some reason, thinking back and comparing to when I worked at Surrey Cricket in my former life. We talk about career transitions, and one of the guys that you almost compare Peyton Manning to in that cricketing world here in the UK would be Alex Stewart. One of the kind of greats who everybody loved, never was a bad word spoke about him, 100% kind of team player, and gave his everything during his long career. It was always, what's he going to do after? He's then dabbled in player management, TV a bit, and it took him a number of years after being kind of on almost a committee side of things and being a consultant on stuff that he is now back as the, I think his title is team director of Surrey Cricket, back home where he played. So these transitions can take a number of years. It's a good 5 years since he retired before he got back into the real coaching and team side of things. So it could be a long process here, as you say, but it's no rush. But obviously a wonderful mind and great person to be involved with the game going forward, and it will only help NFL in the future if Manning is involved at the top level.
Yes. What about yours? The value of keepers. Talk to me a little about that.
Yes, we got a little bug to first of all correct on the website. At the moment, all the posts are coming through under your name, so I'm sure you want to distance yourself with it and make sure that everyone knows it's my post about.
Not about distances. So making sure that everyone gets, you know, we're going to try and make sure that people who write these posts get the credit that they deserve, and then people could potentially, contact these individuals either through the website, and then we can route those according through Twitter and the rest of it. So, it was an interesting one for me because, you think of the keeper leagues and the dynasty leagues, but specifically the whole of Lame League that we do has two keepers in it, and you expect those keepers to be the players that are going to ultimately lead you to success, and that doesn't necessarily seem to correlate.
No, I mean, that was, in undertaking this thing, I keep been thinking about this for ever since the season really ended in terms of planning ahead for next year, and I wanted to just look into the numbers, so I got round to, now that the website's given me a way to get it out there, I got into looking at all these numbers and seeing what those players that we kept from last season contributed to the points totals of the teams over the season, and who hit or miss on players. And yeah, it was surprising that essentially all those keepers selected, who, if it was just a normal draft, would have all been basically top 2-3 round picks. So you thought that they would contribute greatly, but maybe last year was a little bit more of an anomaly with how many kind of season-ending injuries there were. As I said, there's about 5 in that top group of 24 players selected. Yourself majorly impacted with that one.
Yeah.
Alan Charles.
And I think that what we saw in the redraft league, which is the
Move the Sticks league.
Sorry, that escapes me. And what Tony managed to do with the... Tony, one of our players, a Cowboys fan, he churned his roster over entirely and actually managed to be competitive. And it's interesting to think that the players he drafted initially on draft day, when you're excited for your fantasy draft, it's actually what he was doing in the off season, in season, with the trades and the waiver wire, were far more important and decisive in terms of his overall results on a week-to-week basis than the draft itself. So I think it's going to be interesting for me now, playing across a redraft, a keeper, now a dynasty league, how it translates to dynasty, how those rookies fit in with the decisions you've already made on draft day. And obviously the waiver wire is a lot less. What can you do with trades? And I'm really interested to go into the second season with that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with just two keepers, if one of them either gets injured or doesn't start performing, it kind of takes, when you look at these numbers that are produced there on the blog, on the post, that it looks like they haven't really contributed any much more than just the average player playing. But you take that across to the dynasty, as you said, you'll be able to keep all of these players in a greater number of your roster, that when you do get these injuries, you can keep them year to year and they can sit on your bench. You've got enough roster positions to cover that. So the impact on these numbers in terms of that side of things should show through, that your longevity in your picks of the guys that you like should produce the numbers year on year. So obviously in a two-man keeper league, it can make quite an impact. But it was interesting to note that the guy who basically hit with the two best keepers going into last year was Henrik, who ended up finishing 11th in the season. So 11th in the league, sorry. So he had Russell Wilson and Odell Beckham, who performed throughout last year. They actually contributed nearly half his team points over the course of the season. So obviously the rest of the roster was the issue there for Henrik, but it was interesting that not always like you thought would appear, a bit like when you do an undergraduate research dissertation, you often want to try and find something, and it's not necessarily the case when you actually look at the numbers. So nice little project and article to get into there, and from my numbers side of things, I should hope to do some more of those types of things going forward.
Indeed. So I plan to try and do another one over the course of the next week. I have something in mind to do with the draft and underclassmen. But that's a little tease, so watch this space because I will be putting something together over the course of the week.
Yeah, so obviously, to everyone, just a reminder that it is pipeandslippersfootball.com, the new website. You can also get in touch to us with that website. There's a link at the bottom of the page to email, but at the same time, that email address for everyone is inquiries@pipeandslippers.com. So that's one good way to get in touch if you're not on the Twitter sphere, which obviously we are pipe_slippers in Twitter. Just a couple of little things to tidy up here before we finish. Just going back to the fantasy side of things, we have a opening in our Dynasty League. A little surprised by this. We had during the off-season.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere, didn't it?
Yes. As the team name suggested from this player, we'd had contact from everyone saying they're good to go for next year and want to stay with us. And then the team name Silent Assassins decided to just sneak away silently and leave the league. So we do have one spot available after David joined to take over Matt's slot from last year. So please get in touch if you're interested and you're not part of our leagues already.
Yeah, and if you you know, there is that, and if you are part of the leagues, you know, and you know somebody that you think is going to add value to what we're trying to do, then you know, feel free. But you know, yeah, as Steve's just said, if you're not and you listen for some crazy reason, thank you very much. Well, you know, you're more than welcome to join, which is hopefully going to be an interesting fantasy dynasty league, one as well, in which we, you know, we have an email with some random videos and all sorts that are sent out in the lead up to games, which is always fun.
Yeah, and it's not a bad roster to take on as well. The team you inherit, you've got Big Ben at quarterback, you've got Adrian Peterson at running back, you've got Demaryius Thomas, Greg Olsen, you've got the newly joined Dallas backfield of Morris and McFadden together. So, oh, and Jordy Nelson. So I almost want to switch to that team.
Yeah, I know. What happened to my draft?
So, yeah, the Silent Saturns finished 7th last year with that one. But, yeah, be good to hear from you either through Twitter or through the email address inquiries@pipeandslippers.com. If you want to take us up on that opportunity. I think that about does it all for this week, doesn't it?
It certainly does. That was fun, enjoyable. Kind of got my juices going, the website, I have to say. Excited about the season, about what we can do with the website, how we can make it interactive, how we can make the leagues, you know, be as fun and enjoyable as they are. And, you know, man, I just want football to start. I miss it so much.
Yeah, indeed. So I'm glad your juices are going with the website. Less said about that, the better, I reckon. But it's good times, and excited by everything that's taking place in this off-season. Trying to make the most of it when football's not about, so... Once again, thank you to everyone for downloading, listening and subscribing. Please remember to try and review us and rate us on iTunes. And all it is left to do is for us to say goodbye. We've got @RogerMKirby up in the north, and from me down south here in the UK, it's @StephenRudkin. Until next time.
Sipping a tea.